There has been a new name, image, likeness bill that has been introduced in the state of Alabama. Mitt Winter, at Winter Sports Law, has some commentary on it via Twitter. He is a former college athlete, now practicing attorney, and he joins us on the Mick Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Mitt, the last thing that you point out about this bill here in the state of Alabama is that it would make it a felony for anyone to provide name, image, and likeness compensation that is conditioned on attending a specific school or continuing to attend a specific school. Do you believe that that's a good idea, and how exactly would that be enforced?
Yeah, it's an interesting provision to add to this bill. And like you said, I think it's going to be something that would be almost impossible to enforce. You know, if you have, let's say, you know, Alabama, big booster, who also has a business, and he signs up a guy to do a commercial for his business, how do you know that deal is just because he thinks this athlete will be good for his business? Or on the other hand, is it something he's trying to sign this guy for this NIL deal because he wants him to stay at Alabama? I don't see how you're going to be able to police that or make that determination. So it's going to be something that's going to be really, really hard to enforce. I understand the intent behind it, so I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to have in the bill. Just it's going to be something very hard to enforce and police.
There are specific provisions in regards to the kind of companies that could potentially be sponsors or NILs of these players. Can you kind of go over a little bit of that for us, please?
Most of them have some provisions in them that allow universities to kind of set their own parameters on what companies athletes can enter into NIL deals with. Some are specific, some are not. The Alabama one is specific in listing the types of companies that schools can restrict their athletes from working with. Some of the things that are listed in the Alabama bill are tobacco companies, alcohol brands, alcohol companies, drugs. It specifically says marijuana, but also says other controlled substances. Adult entertainment establishments, gambling could be a big thing. You know, a lot of states right now are passing bills to allow sports gambling, so that's a big industry that would be taken away. And then the Alabama one has kind of a catch-all thing that I haven't seen in any of the other state bills. It says a school can restrict an athlete from working with a business or a person that in the university's judgment negatively impacts or reflects adversely on the school. So that gives the school a lot of subjective ability to limit who the athletes can work with if they think, you know, this guy or this company isn't somebody we like, or we think they would reflect badly on our school if an athlete's working with them.
Well, the state of Alabama, this is actually passed, signed by the governor. When could this take effect and affect the schools here in the state and the student athletes?
Well, the Alabama bill has been passed by the House and the Senate. It actually has not been signed by the governor yet. It was just sent to him April 15th. Unless he signed it today, I haven't seen that he has signed it yet, but I'm pretty sure that it will be signed. The bill itself goes into effect on July 1st of this year. The way things currently are, athletes that are going to the universities in Alabama would be able to enter into NIL deals starting on July 1st this summer. The tricky part with the July 1st date is, obviously, as you kind of mentioned, the NCAA has not changed its rules yet. So this is kind of leading to a showdown between state and the NCAA, especially if the NCAA doesn't change its rules by July 1st, because then you'll have a number of states where the athletes are allowed to enter into NIL deals, but under NCAA rules, they're not allowed to do so, so they would technically be ineligible. A lot of people think that the NCAA may sue the states that have NIL laws with July 1st effective dates, but as the number of states with those July 1st effective dates keeps growing, I think it's going to be harder for the NCAA to try and sue all these different states.
Then we roll over to the state of Georgia and the bill that they have introduced, which allows Georgia schools to mandate revenue sharing among athletes in team contracts. There's no chance this is actually going to go through and work, is there?
Yeah, that's another interesting one. I hadn't seen that in any of them before. As you said, it is permissive. So it's not something that the universities have to do. It's something that they can do. I just don't see any university requiring that, even though they have the ability to do it. To me, it's a huge recruiting disadvantage. You know, say the kid's deciding, am I going to go to Alabama? Am I going to go to Georgia? You know, hey, if you come to Alabama, you make all this NIL money. It's all yours. University of Georgia puts into their team contract that, hey, if you come here, you have to give 75% of your NIL revenue that you make to this pool, and then we're going to divide it amongst the other student athletes. You know, that could be at least a factor, maybe not the deciding factor on where someone's going to decide to go to school.
Was there one particular state or states that you've seen their legislation that you look at it and you go, you know what, this is a home run. This is well-written legislation. I think this is going to work. Is there a couple states that kind of ring out to you in regards to that?
I think the Florida law is a pretty good one. It's pretty basic. It doesn't have a whole lot of requirements. It, you know, basically just says student athletes at Florida universities can receive NIL compensation. It does have a market value component, which Georgia law and the Alabama do also as well. They say any NIL deals entered into by athletes must be commensurate with the market value of similar NIL deals. So that's still going to be something that's going to be kind of tricky for people to determine, and who's going to make that determination. That's not clear from any of the laws about who's going to be the arbiter of what is market value for these athletes. So that's something that's going to be tricky. But I think the Florida law is a pretty good one. New Mexico they just passed a law as well. And as I mentioned, it has a July 1 effective date, and it's also pretty basic as well. I think the ones that are more basic that don't have this revenue sharing or give the universities a ton of discretion on what the athletes can and can't do are just easier, cleaner laws.
How prevalent do we see this? Like, how far do we see this going? Do you think there's going to be a number of athletes across all sports at all of these schools, or is it going to be few and far between?
I actually think it'll be more prevalent than some people think. You know, when most people talk about the NIL deals, they're thinking of, you know, the star football player, star basketball players. But I think some of the biggest deals will actually be with women's basketball players or women's gymnasts. A lot of it's going to be social media influencing and sponsorship deals. And people that are going to get the biggest deals based on that are people that have the most followers on Instagram or Twitter or whatever it may be, TikTok. And a lot of those athletes that have the huge followings are female athletes, you know, volleyball players, gymnasts, basketball players, as I mentioned. There have been some companies that have analyzed who they think will make the most, and Paige Beckers, you know, UConn women's basketball, some other women's basketball players are way up high on that list, even higher than men's basketball players as well. There will be some athletes, you know, football, especially at places like Alabama and Georgia, the big name guys. Probably Trevor Lawrence this past year, he probably could have gotten some huge deals with well-known companies. But beyond those superstar guys like that.
You comment on NFTs also, and we see Jalen Suggs doing it now. Evan Mobley announced his decision to go to the draft, and there were some NFTs attached to it. Luka Garza has gotten into this mix. Non-fungible tokens, is that correct? Did I get that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah,
yep,
can you just kind of educate our listeners on what that is and why athletes might, and I use might strongly, be able to benefit from that down the road?
Non-fungible tokens, they could take a few forms. Some of your listeners might be familiar with NBA Top Shot, which is kind of when NFTs, you know, became really popular over the last couple of months and kind of came into people's consciousness. Those are little highlight videos, you know, say a dunk that a guy had in an NBA game. You're able to purchase that highlight. The highlight is on the blockchain. So they're able to limit and authenticate that specific highlight, and you're able to purchase and own that, and then you can resell that highlight on a marketplace if you want to. The college athlete NFTs that have happened so far have not been game highlights, just because the athletes don't own the rights to those highlights. They're owned by, you know, either the SEC, who has the TV contracts, or maybe their university that has local TV contracts, or for the men's basketball tournament, the NCAA. Luka Garza was the first college athlete to do this. didn't have an eligibility problem since he was done playing college basketball, and he actually sold his NFT for over $40,000. You know, it remains to be seen how popular they'll be, if it's just a picture, kind of like the ones that have come out so far. I think, you know, people like the highlights probably more. But if it's, you know, a unique piece of art, kind of is how some people are looking at these NFTs, you know, the trend might continue. So we'll just have to see.